today's homework, you look through the book of Romans to find out the debt we own the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to tell you how many debt. Then you look, the whole book will come up how many debt we own the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't copy others. Maybe you can find more. And this debt, just coincident, just the same with Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 24 is the prophecy of the second coming of Jesus. And Matthew chapter 25 talk about how to prepare it. And actually, it's the same. But you find it out in the book of Romans. And we spend last six sections, 50%, try to convince everybody. Convince about what? You need gospel. You need salvation. Even though we are all baptized, but we have to once again go through the process of believing. So if anyone who want salvation, the first, they must understand without Jesus, without gospel, I am hopeless. Without gospel, my life is meaningless. Why? Because the key reason, sin. Sin is a spiritual sickness, like a leprosy, and sin is like a debt. You cannot repay. So the final day is going to settle the account. Now we are going to go into the positive side. Then after I accept the gospel, does that make any difference to me, to my life? Yes, of course, very much different. Let's look into the teaching material. The book of Romans chapter, right now we go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Today we start from verse 1, Romans chapter 5. If you look into the teaching material, there are some main point there. 2A, justification, definition, and then result. The result of justification, how come it's so important? Does justification make me any difference? Outwardly, it probably no difference. You live the same life, you study in the same school, or you do the same work, you have a lot of same routine. But spiritually, it makes a lot of difference. The first difference, reconciliation with God. Without justification, our relationship with God is what? Can you tell? From chapter 5, verse 1 to 10, without reconciliation, what is our relation with God? We read the verse 1 first. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Lord Jesus Christ, right? Through justification, we have peace. What does that mean? Without justification, we have no peace with God, right? You know, a lot of people nowadays, if somebody offend you, right? You just purposely ignore the person. So nowadays, if there's a broken relationship, perhaps the whole life, you cannot mend the relationship. They just ignore you, right? They are human being, you are human being, right? So when they ignore you, you don't only feel bad, right? Nothing more than that. But when we have no peace with God, that's a big problem. How come that's a big problem? You can imagine, life is under the control of God, right? Opportunity is under the control of God. Right? Capability is under the control of God. So everything is under the control of God, right? So if we have no peace with God, our life is going to be very difficult. And that is the current situation of human life. How come we have so many problems, right? If God created human being in the beginning, like what you and me did nowadays, then God is not perfect. God created Adam, everything is good. Nowadays, our relationship with God is no good, no peace. That is the reason our life is not good. Now you look into verse 9. Verse 9 even makes it more clear. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. So without peace, God's wrath is upon us every day. If we make an example, a credit card, you owe the debt, right? If you cannot pay, every month they are going to pay you a minimum amount, right? It seems affordable to you. But if you don't pay the minimum amount, what is going to happen? The credit card debt will be like a what? Snowball, right? Become bigger and bigger, bigger. And then what are you going to do? If your house, eventually you have to what? Sell your house, pay the debt. Or you have no house, you have to file bankruptcy. So the wrath of God keep on accumulating, become more and more, heavier and heavier. All right? Credit card is a grace period. And then when the grace period over, the wrath of God come down. That was too bad. Nobody can withstand that kind of wrath, because it is come from God himself. So before reconciliation, we are abnormal relationship with God. We are under the wrath of God. Then how about reconciliation, justification? Then we reconcile with God. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we reconcile ourselves with him, then we will be saved. Means we are going to have an eternal life. Because we are saved out of sin. No sin, then there will be eternal life. And also, previously, we are the sinner. But after reconciliation, we become the son, the prince of God. From the enemy of God, we change into the prince of God. And this is a tremendous difference. In the spiritual world, enemy of God, the sinner, is a lost in the spiritual realm. The prince of God is the highest in the spiritual realm. So from the lowest status, elevate into the highest status, and this process is salvation. and it's come from justification. So this is a first result. Reconciliation with God. And the second result, rejoice in the law. In our whole life, if we have no God, all the happiness, all the fun are relating to this world. As this world is a material world, so all the happiness, all the fun has its own limit. So when you listen to music nowadays, the music is much different from 1950 and 60s. What's the difference? The music right now, the melody are faster. Because 1950 or 60, that kind of music is too slow, not exciting. You cannot stimulate enough. So when we pursue the happiness in the world, a lot of times we need more and more stimulation. First you drink water, then you soft drink, and then start to drink what? Red wine, very low percentage of alcohol, and then high percentage of alcohol, and then marijuana, and then drug. Keep on seeking for heavier and heavier stimulation. But there is another way how can make us joyful, which is salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. So after we reconcile ourselves with Jesus Christ, and God himself will become the source of joy. So why do we come to church? One of the reasons, we come to the church to enjoy God. Not in enjoy God's blessing, to enjoy God. We look into chapter 5, verse 11. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So we already received baptism. We already reconciled ourselves with God. We are the Prince of God. But the next stage we have to pursue is rejoice in God. Rejoice God himself. Enjoy God himself. If we really enjoy God himself, you would like to come to church. Whenever you leave the church, you will miss the church very much. You are looking for Sabbath while we are coming back. When you are in church, a lot of time you are unwilling to leave, because how wonderful us to be here, right? You look into Peter, James, and John, they cry up to top of the mountain. There was nothing, right? You know, right now, you bring the cellular phone to top of the mountain, sometimes no reception, right? No power, nothing. But the three disciples was there. They intended to build the three booths and live there forever. How come? Because they behold the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's far beyond anything they have in the mountain world. So we are climbing to the spiritual mountain. The higher we climb, the further away we from the world, even though we are leaving the world. But our heart is closer to God, and our heart is further away from the world. And then we enjoy a very quiet moment together with God, and that is so wonderful. So what does it enjoy the law? Three things. First, we enjoy being filled by the Holy Spirit. When we are filled by the Holy Spirit, it's so joyful, right? Even people bring you $1 million to exchange that experience, you are not going to do it. So joyful. And then when we are so joyful, we are filled by the Holy Spirit, another thing is you feel so sweet, that kind of sweetness. Jesus Christ abides in us. Always you feel in your heart very sweet, very joyful, very sweet, and very peaceful when we are filled by the Holy Spirit. The second one, the words of God. The words of God is so pure. The words of God is so so much bright. A lot of time we have in touch with the world, and the world is so many negativity. Right? Start from you get up, and you go to school, you go to work, the information you we expose, our personal interaction with people, so many negativity. So that kind of negativity makes us unhappy. If that kind of negativity become a pressure and eventually make us depressed. But when we come to the church, the words of God been well expounded, and the words of God is light. So when we listen a good sermon, we really very much touched. And all the thought, watery thought, unfilthy thought, all gone. You feel her heart is so pure. I've been washed by the words of God. And the words of God so comforting us. So when we are in sorrow, you open the words of God, especially the Psalm of David, give us a lot of comfort. God will never desert us. And the words of God contain so many promises of God. And that promise of God just like a blank check, right? What do you want? You want peace? You want joy? You want strength? You want wisdom? You want hope? Everything is there, right? And signed by whom? Signed by the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And waiting for you to fill up your own name. And how can this check be fulfilled? Prayer, right? Holding the promise of God and pray hard, and the promise of God will be fulfilled. So the words of God is so nice, so wonderful. Enjoy God means enjoy the words of God. And the last one is enjoy love. Love in two ways. The loving fellowship between brothers and sisters. And that's because we are all filled by the love of God. The second, enjoy God's blessing. You have no job, you pray and God give us job. Your difficulty, pray, God help us resolve the difficulty. And that blessing is a revelation of God's love. So even God did not open his mouth and say, I love you. But every day we experience God's love. So we rejoice in the Lord. And this is the result of justification by faith, because we reconcile ourselves with the Lord. And there is another joy. We look into chapter 5, verse 2. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So what does it mean, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God? That is a future hope, and that is a living hope, and that is an eternal hope. Okay. Have you ever seen anybody ready to get married and feel very sad? Two months later, I'm going to get married. I really feel sad. Right? Anyone who wants to get married always hoping last day is coming. And so joyful, right? Because you are ready to get married with the one you love, with the one who loves you. You look into their face, all have the radiance of joy and So if somebody, the wedding is coming and feel very sad, you have to advise them, maybe you have to, rethink about your marriage. Something wrong with that, right? But when we receive the water baptism, we engage to the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually. And when is the wedding banquet? The second coming of Jesus is a wedding banquet. And that day is coming. That day is approaching. And then when Jesus' second coming, we all will be transformed into spiritual body, the glorious body, right? If Jesus come today, all of a sudden the angel blows the trumpet and your body will be transformed into spiritual body, right? You don't have to wear glass anymore, because that is spiritual body, all right? And use that spiritual body, meet together with Jesus Christ in the sky, and then we will ascend it to the heaven and enjoy everlasting blessing. Now, so because we have that kind of hope, so we are rejoicing. And this is a great, a glorious hope. And since we have the hope, before we see the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just like a bride before the wedding. The bride have to fully adorn themselves. So one of the sisters say, oh, the wedding is approaching, right? She has to exercise extra hard. Why? Why? Oh, because too heavy, right? You have extra hard. Huh? So in the time of wedding, you put a wedding dress, it looks good, right? And that process of exercising is no fun, right? After you exercise 2 days, stand on the weight, right? Machine, and still, only 0.5 kilo gone off. And then tomorrow, run even longer, right? You keep on running, and reduce the food you intake, right? Until you feel you reach to the desired weight. Now, and that process is to make you look good. But this is something worldly preparation. But when we are going to see God, that kind of spiritual beauty will preserve forever. Look, nowadays, the wedding picture, right? The bridegroom are handsome, and the bride are what? Beautiful, right? You keep that picture for another 30 years to see what's the difference. Not even 30 years. Right? After bride have 2-3 children, and you take another picture, it's different. It's different. Now, after 50 years, it's totally different. So the worldly beauty will change. The worldly beauty. Some brother told me that he tried to matchmaking. And in order to convince the brother, the outer appearance is not important. I don't know where he borrowed or buy the some kind of software. You like that sister? And put the picture there, right? Look, 40 years, she will look like this. 50 years, she will look like this. 80 years, look like this. So are you still care about outer appearance? Okay, that's not important. The only thing important is spiritual beauty. When we are together with Jesus, and that kind of beauty lasts forever. And that kind of beauty actually is glory. Spiritual beauty is a spiritual glory. So in order to prepare ourselves ready for that waiting, to preserve that kind of glory, that kind of beauty, so we have to go through certain type of process. Let's look into chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and the character, hope. Tribulation. Something not very good, right? Tribulation is just like what? You put a chicken into the oven to bake for 30 minutes, right? Tribulation, you put in yourself into a difficulty. It seems, how come there's no God? I pray God don't want to answer. But right now, it's a moment of refinement. God tried to refine you, remake you to look more beautiful. That's called tribulation. And tribulation will produce perseverance. Perseverance, you have a lot of patience, right? And then perseverance, character. So what is the best way to change character? The best way to change the character is we listen to the truth, and we pray, and we ask Holy Spirit to help us to transform ourselves. That's the best way.
But after we've gone through so many years, so many times, we still cannot change ourselves, then God can change you. God can change me. How does God change you and me? Tribulation. Oh, right? Tribulation. So you will produce character. So almost everyone gone through tribulation, their character change. Not change to be worse, change to be better. And when a person have a character of Jesus Christ, and this one will be the most beautiful person in the world. But as an ordinary you and me, we want to preserve that kind of character of Jesus Christ. We had to go through a lot of difficulties. And then character, hope. Eventually, there is a hope. How come there is a hope? Verse 5. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our heart by the Holy Spirit. So during the time of tribulation, we keep on praying. The love of God fell upon us. And then we know this tribulation is not to destroy us. Like an enemy trying to destroy us. This tribulation is to refine us, to remade us, to become more beautiful spiritually. So we have hope now. And Holy Spirit poured down the love of God into us. We know this tribulation is because of the love of God. So the joy in the Lord Jesus Christ is hoping for the living hope for eternity. And because of this living hope for eternity, God will refine us in tribulation. So this is the result of reconciliation. So when we are in tribulation, difficulty, there are many different kind of forms, right? Some of you are so confident that I'm a number one in school. But after graduate, send out hundreds of resumes, nobody responds. There was a sister graduate, very good school. And sent out the resumes, so many resumes. He even tried to modify his resume, looks very, very good. But actually, that resume doesn't represent she herself. But still cannot get the job. And the sister was very disappointed and very down spiritually. And then the sister met another sister. And then another sister, I tell you, my experience, you don't have to inflate your resume, right? It's just very reflect. Just keep your resume reflect the reality. But you seek the kingdom and righteousness first. All right. And this sister, remember, because she did not come to the church often. Now come to the church to attend the service, to help the holy work in one of the job fair. She was supposed to submit the resume in that job fair. But because she helped a visitor, try a visitor, go to the hospital to see the doctor and drive that visitor back to home. When she reached to the job fair, it's already last 20 minutes. So a lot of people already gone. Only a receptionist there. So the receptionist say, well, you just leave your resume here. Try what can we do? It's about a few weeks later, there was a company call him. And the one who called him is the one who decide to hire hire anybody, the company. So usually a company want to hire people, they have to go through a process, right? First interview, second interview, and another final three people or two, three people, the final interview by the top level. So this sister's resume just go through the top level. And then the one who interviewed her just asked her a question. Have you read a book called Purpose-Driven Life? That person was a Christian, so both of them are talking about the faith. Also, that the one interviewed her was very,
very happy, and later on, she was hired in a very good company. All of this just try to tell us, sometimes God put us into a particular process to remove some part of imperfection in us. Job seeking is one of them, or the school is one of them, or sickness, or relationship, any kind. God designed a way which should more suitable than for us. So everyone is different. So this is the result. Now, we look into chapter 5, verse 12 to 21. Chapter 5, verse 12 to 21 actually talk about what? Talk about two Adam. Let me ask you a question before we go into this. Who influenced you the most? Sister, who influenced you the most? Yes, you. Yeah. Your mom, right? How about you? Who influenced you the most? The same, your mom. How come not dad, both of you, or mom? Who influenced you the most? Your mom, still mom. The shame of the dad. Okay. Before we open the Bible, yes, it's very possible. Either your mom or your father or your sibling, right? But when you open the Bible, who influences you the most? The one influence the most is these two person, two Adam, influence you the most. The first Adam is the physical Adam, which means the first person. How come he influenced you? You know, you carry your parents' gene, right? So your parents tall, you are tall. Your parents short, you are short, right? But we carry Adam's gene, what? Sinful nature. How come you have sinful nature? You're born with sinful nature because you are the descendant of Abraham. He sinned, so sin came to the world. So everybody has sinned, right? And he died, so everybody died. This is the first Adam. How about the second Adam? The second Adam is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ gives us spiritual gene. If we reconcile with him, and Jesus Christ has what? Divine character. We can partake the divine nature. How to partake the divine nature? Invite Jesus into your heart. Then you are going to inherit the divine nature. How to invite Jesus? Open your heart, push out all the world, cleanse up your heart, and pray hard. Holy Spirit, keep on pouring into your heart. And after a period of time, you will feel you are changing. More peaceful, more joyful, more patient, more kind, more humble. All of these are the image of Jesus. So the second, the words of Jesus Christ. Right. Third, the love of Jesus Christ. Chapter 5 from verse 12 to 19 to 21. You talk about two Adam influence us the most. That influence is far more than the influence of the parents. Far deeper and far longer than our parents. And the influence of Jesus Christ, the later Adam, actually is greater than the influence of the first Adam. Jesus Christ can cover the mistake of Adam. Why did Jesus come to the world? Jesus came to the world to try to do the remedy of the mistake of Adam. So if he cannot influence more, then he cannot totally erase the mistake of Adam. Since he can influence more, so he can 100% erase the mistake of Adam. So we can recreate ourselves, become a new being, a new person. So this is Romans chapter 5, verse 12 to 21. By the way, when we talk about tribulation and the love of Jesus Christ, if you visit a member who are under tribulation, one is very important. If the member, during the time of conversation, feel God loved them very much, then pretty much the member will be okay. But when you talk with the members during the time of tribulation, they have no fear about the love of God, then you have to be very careful. If a person don't feel the love of God during the tribulation, probably eventually the person will complain. Also, sometimes we visit a person in tribulation, you know, most of people, let's pray, so the member can get over the tribulation very soon. Yes, we out of love, we try to pray in this way. But there's another way to pray around, right? What is the other way? God, please give the member wisdom so he can know what you want him to learn. Spiritual wisdom, right? The second, please give the member faith so he can rely on you to go through this difficult period of time. The third one, please give the feel upon this member's love so he can feel that this tribulation is come from your love. So if we pray these kind of things, God give them wisdom to know the purpose of tribulation. God give them faith so they can rely on God. God can give love so they can understand this is come from the love of God. I think it's more, even far more meaningful than just pray that the tribulation get over. When the person already learned something, God already reached his purpose, and the tribulation will naturally gone. Very soon it will be gone. Now we look into chapter 5, Romans chapter 5. Verse 20 and 21. Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace abound more. Where sin abound means the sin we inherit from Adam. And the grace abound even more means the grace of Jesus Christ even more. Since grace abound more than sin, so grace can cover sin. So grace is greater than sin. So no matter what kind of sin we committed, right, the grace will erase all the sin, will pay all the debt, will heal all the spiritual sickness. So the second Adam influenced much, much more than the first Adam. So that as a sin assigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this is chapter 5. And one of the very important points of the chapter 5 talk about the love of Jesus Christ. Let's come back to the love of Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, verse 5. chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for ungodly. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. Verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we are still a sinner, it's not lovable at all. We are not a righteous person. We are not a good man. We are a sinner. Who want to die for us? Nobody. But Jesus Christ died for us while we are still sinner. So verse 9. Much more, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved through the wrath through him. So the death of Jesus Christ make his blood available. So verse 9 talk about justified by his blood. So according to Ecclesiastes, what kind of power is the strongest one according to Ecclesiastes? Or Ecclesiastes. What kind of power is most powerful? Death, yes. Death conquer everyone, right? No matter how powerful you are, no matter how much money you are, no matter how much knowledge you are, when death comes, you surrender, right? You go. And then the Song of Solomon, what is as strong as death? Song of Solomon, what is as strong as death? Yes, death is very powerful. He can conquer everyone. But something is as strong as death. What's that? Love. Yes, you are right. Love is as strong as death. So you look into whether Jesus loved us. Then you look into what did he do? He died for us. So his love towards us is so strong to a point he died for us. So nowadays, what is love? Love is feeling, right? I feel I fall in love, right? So why you get married? Because we feel we are in love, right? But a few years later, why your marriage fall apart? Because we don't feel love each other anymore, right? So love is a feeling. Feeling is like a sand. Big wind blow. Where is the sand? Sand disappear because it's a feeling. To make the feeling even feel better, right? Valentine's Day, give the flower to the one you love, right? Even feel better, right? The second, love is to share something good together. So you buy flower, you buy diamond, you buy something, expensive item to the one you love. Yes, it's love. Share something good together. But, the depth of love can only be shown in how much you are willing to sacrifice. Right? How much you are willing to sacrifice. So nowadays, how come marriage is so fragile? Because the love lacks depth without depth. People are unwilling to suffer. So one day, suffer is more than happiness. Why do we stay together? Right? You go your way. I find my own another partner. So that is so-called the partnership. Marriage is a partnership. But the Bible says different. Marriage is one body. It's not partner. Can you separate your body? You cannot separate your body. Do you love your body? Yes, you love your body, right? So the marriage, according to the Bible, means the husband has to love the wife, just Jesus Christ loved the church. To what kind of point? Jesus loved the church to what? To the point of death, yes. So later on, if you are a husband, right? Love your wife to the point you die. All right. And that marriage will last forever. So a sister, if one day you want to get married, right? You have to ask your husband, how much you love me? I give you a diamond. Not enough. I'll live for you. Not enough. How much you love me? I want to die for you. Yes, you can marry that brother. Your marriage will last forever. Just like Jesus Christ loves us. So the marriage with the love of Jesus Christ inside, it will never separate. Why? Because Jesus' love is love to the point of death. So the best way to secure a marriage lasts forever. It's not because of feeding. It's not because of share something together only. It is the love of Jesus Christ inside us. So this is chapter 5. We're going to have a 10-minute break. And then we come back, we look into chapter 6. Let's pray inside. Amen.